Boxes were all filled with gifts, big and small. But sharing pure love is the greatest gift of all. Stay cozy, my people, and have a Boss year.
Get into the holiday spirit with Boss and our ultimate gifting edit. Visit your nearest store or explore our curated selection online at boss.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to True Crime with Kendall Ray. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me today. If you're new to the show, then welcome. I'm so happy to have you here. Okay, guys, today we are getting into another case having to do with someone who lied extensively, like just kept it going and lied about, I think, one of the worst things that you can lie about, which is health-related things. And the way that she manipulated, I mean, if lying and gaslighting was an Olympic sport, Rebecca Gray or Arrow should get the gold. These types of stories where people lie about having an illness or a disease, especially a terminal illness, and it's normally cancer, piss me off so much. And I know you guys feel the same way because I always see your comments and I see so many of you who actually have been sick in your life, are sick now, or have a family member who has been sick or lost their battle to an illness or to cancer. And it is just infuriating that people can do this. And it's also just mind-boggling to me that someone can confidently lie and really have to have everyone in their life believe it, especially when there's multiple people that are being lied to in a big way. And there are multiple people in this story. And how do you sleep at night? How do you function on a daily basis? I think the anxiety alone would just destroy me. And this woman just has no remorse for what she did at all. And sadly, she is out there still, probably still doing this to other people. And that's part of the reason I wanted to cover it today, because there weren't many consequences for Rebecca, unfortunately, as is the case with some of these stories of people who lie like this. Now, as for her victims, there are several. Her child, I think, is definitely a victim in this, but there are two men that I'm mainly going to be focusing on today, although she hurt others in the past, and I'm sure there are many more. I'm sure she will continue to do this to others, like I said. But from what I can tell, these guys who were manipulated and lied to and tricked by Rebecca for a long time really did nothing to deserve this. They seemed like great men who were well-intended and just happened to trust the wrong person. It's quite a journey, you guys. This is a case out of Australia, and I had never heard of it before. And once I started looking into it, I was pretty freaking blown away. So I'm going to start out here by talking about one of Rebecca's victims, and his name is Sean Fry. And in 2016, he was living in Perth, Australia. Now, a little bit about Sean. He was in his early 30s and worked a variety of jobs over the years, from teaching football, leading team building events, and even doing disability support work. According to his mom, Diane, he was a kind, moral, and nice person. And of course, I don't know Sean, but from the interviews I've seen of him, he seems like a really solid dude, and I feel terrible that this happened to him. And in the interview I watched, he talked about how he didn't always have the greatest dating history, didn't always have the best of luck with dating other people, but that didn't stop him from trying. He says that one of the most beautiful parts of life is the relationships that you build, and that's true for both romantic and non-romantic relationships. And I couldn't agree more. And like a lot of single people do these days when they're looking to meet someone, Sean was using Tinder. And I really get the vibe that he's a look on the bright side kind of guy. So even though he didn't have the best dating history, he wasn't ready to throw in the towel. And that's how he was first introduced to a girl that he met on the app. And her name was Arrow. That's what she was going by on Tinder. Now, at first, Arrow seemed like a totally normal, kind, and in Sean's opinion, really pretty woman. And their initial kind of back and forth on the app made it sound like they were compatible for the most part. And one of the things that they talked about was the fact that Era was a mother. And just FYI, for the sake of protecting this child's identity, I'm changing some major details about them, but it's not going to change any of the facts of the case. It doesn't really matter. So anyway, when Rebecca, Era, and Sean were first chatting on Tinder, she mentioned that she had a daughter who I'm going to call Sophie. And he didn't really seem to have any reservations about the fact that she had a kid. A friend of his actually described him as a very paternal guy, and he's someone who knew that he wanted to have kids eventually, which I think is rare to find someone who is open to also bringing a child into their lives. And I think a lot of people would be hesitant about that. But Sean, you know, wanted to have a child in his life at some point and didn't mind if this was the way that that happened. Now, Sophie was only about 6 months old at the time, and according to Arrow, they had just arrived in Australia from the UK. And she told Sean that they were planning to just explore in her van, and she seemed like a really easygoing, fun, kind of spontaneous person. So they get to scheduling their first date, and Sean was very eager to meet both of them. They ended up meeting up in Fremantle for some food and some beer, and he said that it went really well. He described her as confident and charismatic, and he said he really had never met anyone like her before. So as far as first dates are concerned, this seemed like a pretty damn good one, and Sean was excited. And I'm not sure if it was a conversation they had on their first date, but at some point, Rebecca explained to him why she called herself Arrow. Her real name, of course, is Rebecca Gray, but she said that she had to change it because she was trying to get away from Sophie's father, who she said was incredibly abusive. And because Sean, of course, had no reason not to believe her, he completely understood why she had changed her name to Arrow or was going by Arrow, and he agreed to call her Arrow moving forward. And I am not going to be calling her Arrow in this episode. I mean, maybe here and there, but I'm going to be referring to her mostly as Rebecca Gray, because I think it's really important that this woman's name gets out there. Although chances are she's probably not going by this name anymore.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
But anyway, he and Rebecca, you know, they're hitting it off. Things are going well. They had been seeing each other relatively frequently. They'd often go to the beach and have romantic evenings by the water. And it felt like the only place this relationship was going was up. However, a little bit into seeing one another, Rebecca breaks the news to Sean that she has terminal liver cancer. And she explained that the estimates varied, but doctors gave her about 6 months left to live. Now, that being said, she told him that she had actually outlived it before. So there was the smallest chance of hope. And Sean said that she was very emotional about having to tell him, was clearly upset, clearly even had a hard time getting the words out, which in his mind made sense. I mean, it's a lot to tell someone that you just started dating and you don't know how they're going to react. And obviously it's a lot for him to comprehend, and it's just very heavy. On one hand, he didn't necessarily owe her anything. He didn't need to stay in the relationship and support her through her cancer journey. But on the other hand, this was someone that he was really developing strong feelings for. Plus, he had already gotten kind of close with Sophie and he wasn't ready to walk away from them. So he ends up texting a buddy of his to talk about it. But in the end, he decided that he wanted to support her however that looked. And his words were something like, "If she was going to die, I can try and help her have the best end to her life and give the baby the best start to theirs." And Sean actually said that being in this situation and learning about her cancer diagnosis actually only made them closer. And he started seeing her in a totally new light. Like, she was so impressive to him. And her will to fight and be so strong during it. And he was really falling in love with someone who he thought was fighting cancer. And of course, when you really love someone, those feelings come with wanting to support them as much as you can. And that included helping her pay for whatever she needed, whether that be medical bills, payments towards her van, or even things for the baby. And I actually have just a couple of their text exchanges, which I think really helps paint the picture of how Rebecca was going about tricking Sean. In one message, she says, "For fuck's sake, I've had a reaction to the dye they used in my test. I'm not going anywhere." To which he responds, "Oh, babe," with a bunch of frowny faces. Then she replies, "I'm so fucking sick of this." And he says, "Can I do anything? Do you want me to come see you or take Sophie or anything?" Rebecca responded with, "No, Sophie is almost asleep. One of the nurses is walking her around and she's ready for bed. I can't have visitors till they give me a goddamn bed, and visiting hours end soon by the time you get here. What are you doing tomorrow, baby?" And then jumping forward a little bit, she ends up saying, "Will you come down? Hopefully I'll be discharged in the morning and then we'll be ready to go to Goy Court Place. I really want to be at home with you. It's been the hardest day." And then in another text exchange, she explains that things were not looking good for her. She says, "My liver has semi-packed up. I've got blood poisoning. The combination of doing a load of exercise when I didn't have the car yesterday and then drinking was enough to overload it." And then Sean asked what happens next. And she said, "A blood transfusion pretty quickly. They are getting me sorted now. Drugs to help my body process all the waste and painkillers to help deal with how bad I'm feeling. If my organ functioning doesn't improve, then it's much scarier. Dialysis, maybe. If what they're doing tonight works temporarily, then it might only be 24 hours in the hospital. If it doesn't work, then I won't be leaving anytime soon." And during all of this, Sean really couldn't have been any more supportive. And no matter how much he wanted to go and see her and be by her side, Rebecca always had some excuse as to why he couldn't. And he said her messages were becoming perfectly timed, too. If he was ever getting pushy about wanting to be there, she would say things like, "I'm sorry, I've been pushing you away. I don't want to drag you into this." And, you know, other things like that. And it was always just enough to put his mind at ease. But even when she was physically not allowing him to be there for her, she was always somehow getting him to support her financially, of course. And to my understanding, Rebecca didn't have a job. She would tell Sean that she was always, you know, looking for work, but it never amounted to anything. And considering she had terminal cancer, it's not like he was going to question why she wasn't working. Because Sean was a solid guy, his main concern was just making sure that he was there for her and supporting her as much as he could, even if that meant putting a strain on his own life, which his friends say he definitely was. Sean was working a lot of extra overtime, and he also started working for Uber at night. And then he basically began pulling away from all of his friends. And of course, his friends were happy for him that he had found someone that he really cared about, but it was definitely an adjustment. They weren't seeing him as often. You know, he wasn't having them over, not going out as much, and they were a little concerned. His mom, Diane, said that she was really worried about her son dating someone who was terminally ill because it was hard to imagine that her son was falling for someone who may not make it. And I think part of the reason that she felt that way is because the relationship was so fresh. But that being said, she was just really happy that he was really happy. And she was very eager to meet the woman who her son was falling in love with. So about 6 months into their relationship, Rebecca told Sean that she wants to go on this road trip. She wants to drive across the Nullarbor from Perth to Adelaide. Now, Nullarbor translates to no trees, and it's Australia's longest straight road, and it's exactly what you're picturing, a long, straight, treeless drive. Now, this was something that Rebecca said was on her bucket list, and Sean thought it was a really good opportunity to spend a lot of time with her. Plus, his family actually lived in Adelaide, so the plan was to stop and see them once they got there. In total, it took them a couple of days to get there, and from what I understand, the drive went smoothly. When they got there, the first thing that Sean did was put Sophie in his mom's arms because she had been so excited to meet her. And over the several days that they spent together, everyone got along super well. Diane says that Rebecca felt like someone that she'd known for a long time, and everyone just really seemed to click. But this definitely wasn't a problem-free vacation, and here's where things start to get even more interesting, because a few days into their stay, Rebecca had just gone to the bathroom, and a text popped up on her phone from someone, and it said something along the lines of, I mean, it pretty much just said, "Hey, baby. Hi, baby." And Sean happened to see it. And naturally, he gets worried and upset, thinking that maybe Rebecca is seeing someone else on the side. And it turned into a bit of a fight, as you can imagine, but Rebecca assured him that this was nothing to be worried about, and of course she used one of the oldest excuses in the book. This was just her gay friend texting her. It's nothing to worry about, Sean. And she even told him that sometimes this gay friend of hers would text her things that were meant for Sophie, and that explains why it said, "Hi, baby." You know, "Hi, baby," as in for Sophie. Hi, Sophie. And honestly, Sean couldn't entirely shake how strange it felt, but one thing about Rebecca is she always found a way to put his worries at ease. Like I said, she's just really a master of gaslighting, and she just had always just enough of an explanation. And let's be real, who wants to accuse this girl who is battling cancer of lying? Plus, even if her excuses didn't make a ton of sense, Sean said that he would just rather not know. So despite this argument that they had, he decided to just kind of move on from it. And surprise, surprise, 2 days later, which just so happened to be his birthday, she suddenly has fantastic news for him. Rebecca tells Sean that she is pregnant with his baby. And to say that Sean was excited about this would be an understatement. I mean, as I explained earlier, he knew he always wanted to be a father, and Artie was getting so close to Sophie, sort of becoming a father figure to her, and loved that experience. And this news to him was really, really positive. He was pumped. Of course, though, it came with a lot of emotions given the circumstances. He had fear that Rebecca, obviously she was sick and seemingly didn't have a long time to live. But it sounds like he was just trying to focus on the positive and what he could control in that time. Her health was definitely something that seemed to fluctuate a lot. Like sometimes she'd be really sick and couldn't do much, and then other times she'd be doing decently well. And it sounds like on this trip, she was doing pretty great, so much so that she actually wanted to drive back to Perth on her own. She told Sean that her plan when coming to Australia was to spend alone time with just her and Sophie, and now that she was pregnant, this might be one of her last chances. And he definitely pushed back because it was a long trip, and of course she was sick, or so he thought. But she assured him that she would take it easy and she would sort of drive close to hospital. She'd kind of mapped it out, so everything was going to be fine. And honestly, he just admired that she was so adventurous and seemingly independent, that she wanted to spend this alone time with her daughter. So she and Sophie left and started making their way back to Perth, or they were supposed to, and he stayed back in Adelaide just for a couple of days to be with his family. But the thing is, though, she didn't drive straight back to Perth, because of course she didn't. She actually made a pit stop at the airport to pick up the guy, the gay guy, her gay best friend, who sent her the "Hi, baby" text. And I'm going to tell you right now, he is not gay, and I'm going to be calling him Steve.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Steve is the other victim that I'm going to be telling you about today. And just a heads up, his name isn't really Steve. He's chosen to remain anonymous in all this. Even when he's done interviews, he's got kind of like the shadowed thing going on, so you can't see his face. So Steve is not his real name, but we're going to call him Steve. And he was the guy that Sean caught texting Rebecca a few days before she told him that she was pregnant. But like I said, he definitely wasn't her gay friend. It turns out that they had also met on Tinder 2 weeks before she and Sean met. And he tells a really similar story about getting to know Rebecca and falling for her and finding out about her having cancer. And he explained that 2016 was a really hard year for him because He had actually left his fiance, so big life change. And his friends had really encouraged him to get back into the dating scene and to get into online dating on Tinder. And that's where he met Arrow. And they actually also met in Fremantle for their first date. And he said that it went really well. And one thing that he remembers about her that really stood out to him was her stare, that it felt like she was looking or sort of like reading into his soul when she would look at him. And he heard the same story about why she was going by the name Arrow and, you know, the whole abusive ex story as well. But the difference was she actually told him the origins of the name Arrow. So apparently she was a writer, and Arrow is what they used to call her when she worked for a university magazine when she was still in school. They said that her writing was sharp and to the point, like an arrow, and it just kind of stuck. Now, I don't know if that story is true. My guess is it's not, but whatever. It doesn't really matter much. But like Sean, their relationship started to progress. And a few months into dating, she broke the news to him that she had terminal cancer. And just like Sean, he also felt like he didn't necessarily owe her anything. But at the same time, this was someone that he was falling for, someone he really liked. And they would sort of spend several days together, and then they'd be apart for a few days. And then, you know, in between, they were in contact pretty much all the time. So he really felt connected to her, even though it hadn't been that long. And so ultimately, he decided he wanted to be by her side through all of this. And he would end up doing things like take her to and from her appointments. But of course, he never actually got to go inside. And he would also help by watching Sophie while she was at these appointments, as well as helping cover as much of her medical bills as he reasonably could. He'd also, just like Sean, pay for things for the baby and other bills that came her way. And also, like Sean, he had no reason to believe that she was lying. In fact, one time, right after he got out of the shower, she showed him a clump of her hair that she said was on her pillow, which to him at the time was confirmation of what he already believed, that Rebecca had cancer. And in hindsight, I'm sure it was all very strategic, and I wonder how she went about doing that or how much hair it was. I'm not really sure, but yeah, of course, that's kind of a classic play we see with people who fake cancer. And she was planting seeds for weeks, seeing how much she could make them both care about her. And right when she had them hooked, boom, she had cancer suddenly. And for what? Sympathy? Money? Well, in this case, it's pretty obvious it was for both. But anyways, going back to the whole road trip situation, Rebecca went and picked up Steve from the airport, and he accompanied her and Sophie back to Perth. And they ended up making a ton of pit stops along the way and really made a full trip out of the several days that they were spending together. And what's interesting is Rebecca was sending photos to Sean and his mom, and Diane says that in hindsight, she probably should have questioned who was taking these photos, but you know, to give her some credit, I think most of us would just assume. I mean, when you don't have a reason to believe someone's lying, your mind doesn't go there. So I'm sure she's just thinking someone else is taking these pictures. She's asking random people at these tourist stops to take pictures of her. I mean, I would probably think the same. And she was messaging the two of them a lot, especially Sean. And he says that she was constantly talking about the pregnancy and how excited she was, and he's excited. And she even sent him a picture of this shirt that she found that said Small Fry on it, which they laughed about and thought was really cool because Sean's last name is Fry. So she's like carrying a small fry. She even was joking with him about how he wasn't going to love her anymore when she was heavily pregnant, which of course wouldn't have been true, by the way. But, you know, any way that she can get a little sympathy. But apparently, at one point during her drive, Rebecca even told them that her van broke down and they were working to find her a solution. But like always, she convinced them that she was fine. It was like every time she made a problem, she also magically had the solution. Rebecca truly put Sean through so many emotional roller coasters, and the biggest one happened about 4 weeks later on Australia Day. So for that upcoming weekend, they were texting and Sean asked her if she had any plans. And she did. She was going to go camping with a couple of friends. And Sean, of course, couldn't go because he had to work to support her, obviously. And honestly, he was worried about Rebecca going. I mean, between having terminal cancer and being pregnant, he was always super cautious about what she did. But she reassured him, of course, that everything was going to be totally fine, especially because she wasn't going to be alone. And she was right. She wasn't going to be alone, but she certainly wasn't going to be with friends. She was actually going to be with Steve. I just have to take a little pause here. Oh my God, Rebecca pisses me off so much. How evil, truly, can you get not only lying about having cancer, but also cheating on this man while he is busting his ass, making sure that you can pay your bills, which he thinks are medical bills, and pay for your child and all these things. And you're just camping and having a good old time. Just, ugh.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra value meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
But anyway, back to the camping trip. During the trip, Rebecca's communication was not so great. She wasn't being as responsive to Sean as she normally was, and something just felt off to him. Well, come to find out, Rebecca was actually in the hospital, or so she said, of course. Rebecca had been texting him, saying that she didn't feel good, and she wound up in the hospital. And of course, hearing this about this woman he loves and is having a baby with, she's carrying his baby, he's very concerned, and he naturally wants to go and be with her. But just like in every other situation, she insisted that she didn't need him there. Because the last thing Rebecca wants is for one of these guys to actually go into a hospital with her, because the jig would be up quick, right? But then after several hours of not responding to poor Sean, he is very worried, trying to figure out what's going on. Why are you in the hospital? What's happening? She finally hits him with the news that she had a miscarriage. And here's where it gets even more fucked up. She didn't have a miscarriage because Rebecca was never pregnant to begin with. She lied to him about that too. So if she hadn't quite deserved the title of evil yet, now I believe she certainly has. But at the time, Sean didn't know that she was never pregnant. So he went from the happiest he had been in a long time to the saddest he had been in a long time. And she's texting him saying, "I'm so sorry, I'm so upset," and he's very, very upset. But of course, he, being the guy that he has been this whole time, is going to just continue to support her. And if all that wasn't horrible enough, things were actually about to get a lot harder, because Rebecca, a short time after she told him she lost the baby, told him that Sophie's biological father was, or had already started, a custody battle, which actually, that part is true. And since he had access to great lawyers, Rebecca needed more money if she was going to keep up with all the legal costs. Now, of course, this was something that she shared with both Sean and Steve. And because they both believed that the baby's biological father was abusive, both of them wanted to make sure they supported Rebecca through this time, as they always did. And that meant both emotionally and financially. And poor Sean, man, he ended up borrowing several thousand dollars from his parents and also increased his workload even more. And since money was so tight at this time, Rebecca said she had another brilliant idea to help them make some extra cash. She tells Sean that her gay best friend, the one who had texted her, "Hi, baby," was actually away on vacation and agreed to let them decorate his house. And this was partially true. I mean, we know that Steve is not actually her gay best friend, but he actually did agree to let Rebecca decorate his house, but he knew nothing about Sean. So basically what happened was he had just bought this new house, but he was about to leave town for this work trip. And so Rebecca had approached him and said, "Look, I really want to do something nice for you. Can I decorate it while you're gone?" And he hesitated at first to let her do this, but since she insisted, he did finally agree. So in the week Steve is gone, Rebecca and Sean go over to Steve's house, and they brought in furniture and they painted and made his house feel like a home, you know, put in a ton of work. And Sean, this whole time, has no idea he is painting and decorating the house of a man that Rebecca is in another relationship with. Oh my God. And to make it even worse, and this is not surprising, it sounds like Sean was doing most of the work because of Rebecca's health problems and whatnot. Of course. But she sure as hell took credit for it, though, even though Steve had no idea that Sean was also there helping along the way. And when he came back, she greeted him outside. She was so pumped for him to come home and ready to show him all the hard work that she had put into his now beautiful home that she had decorated and painted and, you know, made a house into a home. And truthfully, he did think that she did a decent job. And so he ended up paying her $4,000 because he felt bad that she supposedly paid for everything. After all this, though, finally, things started to go to shit for Rebecca. I'm not exactly sure how much later this was, but at some point, there was a period of time where Sean just stopped hearing from Rebecca. And he was very concerned because the two of them were pretty much in constant contact. He didn't want to think the worst, but given her health, he worried that maybe something had happened to her. So he thought the best thing that he could try and do was to find someone else who knows her. I mean, he knows none of her family, none of her friends. He knows nobody that knows Rebecca. The only person he knows of is the gay best friend, who is Steve, of course. He didn't have Steve's number, but he did know where Steve lived because he had just spent all this time decorating the man's house. So he decides to go over there. But little did he know that going over to Steve's house was going to be the beginning of the end. And this is crazy. So Sean drives over to Steve's house and he knocks on the door and Steve answers and he asks, "Hey, is Rebecca here?" And Steve said, "Yeah." And before Steve could even say another word, Sean ended up pushing past him and barged into the bedroom where he finds Rebecca, who is still scrambling to put her clothes on. So you know what the hell was going down in the bedroom. And it was as bad as it sounded, but somehow she managed to convince Sean that it wasn't what it looked like. They sat and talked in his car about it, and she got him to believe that the only reason she was at Steve's house was because she needed a friend to talk to about their relationship problems, as in hers and Sean's. She said she only went over there to talk, but it got late, so he told her that she could sleep in the bed and he would sleep on the couch. And I guess Rebecca and Sean were having like some problems in their relationship, so that part felt true to him. It's just so crazy to me that she wouldn't have just given up at that point. I mean, you're literally caught in another man's bed and you're still going to lie. It's like it's wired into her DNA that she just has to lie constantly. But yeah, despite feeling off about the whole thing, he chose to believe her because he didn't want to believe that she was cheating. However, it quickly became too obvious to ignore.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Not long after Sean left her at Steve's house, he ended up texting her. And when the text notification sound popped up on her phone, Steve picked it up because he said he thought it was his phone. And maybe that's the truth, or maybe he was just looking at her phone. And he's still confused about the situation at this point. But yeah, this guy just barged in looking for his girlfriend. So yeah, I wouldn't blame him if he was looking through her phone. But anyway, of course, as he looks at the phone, he sees that Sean had texted her. And in that moment, he decided to give Rebecca a little test. And he put her phone down and he let her go ahead and find the text herself. And when she did, he asked her who the message was from. And of course, Rebecca lied. And she said that it was from her mom checking in on Sophie. Now, of course, Steve knows that the message is actually from Sean. And so it was in this moment that it all hit him. She was cheating on him. She was lying. And listen to this. When he accused her of lying, he says that she got sick and passed out for 2 hours, which was long enough for him to go through her phone. And I'm really curious if she actually did pass out or if she was faking that too. I mean, you really can never know with Rebecca. I'd imagine if she was, I mean, maybe the stress all hit her, all the lies, everything catching up to her, and she actually did pass out. That's a possibility, because I'd think that if you were passed out and someone was going through your phone and you knew that they were about to find out a bunch of shit, you'd probably wake back up. But I don't know. This whole situation is so confusing. But as Steve is going through her phone, he puts the pieces together and realizes that any time that she's not with him, she's with Sean. So what does Steve do? He sends a message to Sean from Rebecca's phone telling him the truth. And these two men ended up going full detective mode and they uncovered a lot. And I think it was way more than either of them were expecting. And one of the things they put together pretty quickly was the fact that when she drove to Adelaide, she was with Sean. And then when she drove back, she was with Steve. Which is, it's so wild to me. You have two boyfriends and you're going to like split a vacation between the two of them. Like, how did she pull this off? I mean, clearly not very well. They even realized that they both had almost identical photos of her sleeping in the van. They also, of course, quickly realized that they were the ones, both of them, funding her life. And that anytime they thought Rebecca had bought something for herself, it was something that the other guy had actually gotten for her or paid for a bill, you know, covered the expense. Oh, and then the miscarriage, of course. Sean learned that when she told him she was in the hospital having a miscarriage, she was camping with Steve. So not only were their relationships with her a lie, but, you know, Sean is now learning that the pregnancy was too. And that is really painful to learn. I just feel so, so horrible for him in that moment. And, you know, all the emotional trauma that he went through with that alone, to find out that that was all a lie, just would be like a dagger to the heart. And so, boy, was Rebecca in for a surprise when she woke up. Steve says that as soon as she woke up, he told her that he had been talking with Sean and immediately kicked her out of his house. And thankfully for Steve, that was the last time that he ever saw her. Now, as for Sean, Rebecca tried calling him to convince him that Steve was lying. But of course, he's over her bullshit at this point. He doesn't believe a word that she's saying. And this is also really sad, but he said at some point, he started thinking that he was having like a schizophrenic episode. And listening to him try to explain what his thought process was like during this time is truly heartbreaking. Like, he thought that maybe he was actually Steve and he had dreamt up this whole thing. Like, he could not make sense of the fact that he had been lied to for so long. And that, you know, he had dedicated so much. He gave her everything in those months they were together. I mean, it wasn't that long, but still, it was just like hard to wrap your mind around this period of your life where so much happened was all fake. So they start thinking, maybe we should reach out to Sophie's dad, the abusive ex, and see what the story is there and see if she was lying about him too. And you guessed it, she absolutely was. Not only had he never been abusive to her, but he explained that he had been with her for 4.5 years. during which, of course, she claimed to have terminal cancer. And obviously, he's with her for a longer period of time. So eventually, he starts demanding to go to her oncology appointments. He says, I need to be a part of this. I need to hear it for myself, see it for myself. That's when she bails and she took the baby and left. So at this point, they started realizing they couldn't believe anything that this woman had told them, including the fact that she had cancer. And so to further confirm this, Sean tracked down another one of her ex-boyfriends, someone who she had dated before she had Sophie. And that's when he learned that she told that guy the same damn thing. So that is four guys that we know of that she has lied to about having cancer. And I wouldn't be shocked if there are more. And it was the same scenario with that guy too. They confirmed that this guy never had once actually spoken to one of her doctors, and all the information was always coming from Rebecca. And that's when Sean was certain that everything that she had ever told him was a lie. So then I guess he got in contact with her family, and they tell him that she had been lying about having cancer since 2007. So clearly, Rebecca is a master manipulator. She has had a lot of practice. Like I said, it's really just in her. It's part of who she is to lie like this. And I hate to say it, but again, as I said earlier, she could still be out there doing this to this day. So once Sean and Steve officially broke up with her, they kind of decided that they were going to just leave it at that. Sean had messaged a few people online initially just to warn them about her, but they weren't at first planning to file any charges, which they absolutely had every right to do, considering that she stole upwards of $11,000 between the two of them. But this was something that they wanted to put in the past and just be done with. And in a lot of ways, I get that. They had to have been just so emotionally drained and disturbed by the whole thing that I'd probably want to just be done with it too. But then Rebecca went to the police and told them that Sean had been stalking her. And for the record, as I'm sure you probably are already thinking, this is also a lie. Because of course it is. This is Rebecca we're talking about. But he still had to go in and talk to the cops, and that's when he ultimately decided that he was going to share the full story with them. He told them everything that she lied about, including the fact that she solicited money under false pretenses. And so after looking into it, the police dropped the stalking charge and they started to investigate Rebecca for fraud. Steve even agreed to make a statement, which further solidified the lengths that she went to and the fact that she did it to more than one person. And so authorities wanted to have a little chat ski with Rebecca, and so they ended up bringing her in to ask her some questions, but they had to do so by telling her that she was there to talk about the stalking. Little did she know, though, they were going to turn things around on her. I mean, they were basically trapping her, and she'd either have to tell the truth or continue her lies. And after nearly a year of investigating her, Rebecca finally went to court after being charged with three counts of fraud, all of which she ended up pleading guilty to. And this was interesting, and maybe it was her last-ditch effort to get some more sympathy, because we know that Rebecca does love her sympathy. But over the 2 days that she was in court, one of the days she showed up with crutches, and then the next day she was in a wheelchair. And I can't say with 100% certainty that she didn't need the crutches or the wheelchair. I mean, I don't know for sure, but her lawyer basically said that she was in the wheelchair and using the crutches because she was suffering from health issues related to an abusive relationship. And I think that really seals the deal on how not sorry Rebecca was. And you guys, the end of this is disappointing. I won't lie to you. Rebecca ended up receiving an 8-month suspended sentence, meaning that she didn't actually have to face any jail time. Apparently, she was told that if she had a prior record, she would have served those 8 months, but since she didn't, all she had to do was some community service. Now, as for an apology, apparently she gave one, but I'm not sure what she said or if she meant it. And my guess is she probably didn't. Plus, according to Sean, she never actually admitted to faking cancer. Even when she was pleading guilty to fraud, she never said, I lied about being sick. She really could never admit anything. But yeah, guys, Rebecca is a free woman. She's still out there somewhere. It's currently unknown where she is. And she, like I said earlier, is probably going by a different name. It is believed that she left Australia, which would be smart on her part. But yeah, she's out there. And I wish there was a better way to keep an eye out for her. But at least you know what she looks like now in case you happen to run into her, which chances of that are very low, hopefully. But I didn't want to leave this case on an entirely disappointing and sad note because overall it just is that type of story. But there is a little bit of good news. I think you'll be really happy to hear that Sophie's dad was able to regain custody. So she's now in a loving home and being cared for by someone who isn't going to exploit her. And here's something that is really the cherry on top of this story, like in a good way. I loved this. Sean, Steve, and Sophie's dad are all friends now, and they still go and see her. They've all been able to kind of help each other, not only with support, but her dad has said that he's super grateful that they helped him get his daughter back. And they'd been with Rebecca for 18 months, give or take. And in that time, they had both grown to care about Sophie. And for them to want to stay in Sophie's life to some degree, even though she's back with her dad, thank goodness, I think says a lot about the two of them. And this fully sent me. I love this so much, but they actually have a 3 men and a baby group text, which is just so awesome. Rebecca, on the other hand, she hopefully only has herself. I don't know. Who knows who could be in her life now being manipulated by her latest lies? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe she learned from it and has turned a new leaf. I guess we can only hope, but yeah, I just really hope that she never does this to anyone else ever, because this is just, like I said, so, so evil. I can't explain it. I mean, everything I cover every week is shocking, but there's something about these people that lie that just, like, my jaw drops as I'm learning about it. I constantly find myself taking these huge breaths like, oh my God, this is just, it's so insane to me, especially when you have multiple people in it and multiple lies going at once. You have to keep all your facts straight and stuff. Like I said earlier, the anxiety alone would just like eat me alive. And I'm so sorry to anyone out there who is battling cancer, has battled cancer, has lost someone to cancer or any other illness. This has just got to be such a slap in the face to you. And I am truly, there's no words. It is super, super fucked up. That's really all I have to say to Rebecca in the end of this is fuck you. You're a terrible person and you're evil. And I'm so sorry also for her daughter who had to suffer in all of this as well and will grow up and probably hear what happened one day. That is going to be it for me today, guys. Thank you for joining me for another episode. And make sure you follow the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It really does help me out. If you want to watch the video version of this show, you can find it on my YouTube channel, which will be linked, or you can just search Kendall Ray. I will be back with another episode soon, but until then, stay safe out there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.